So thanks a lot for the kind introduction. So first of all, I'd like to thank the organizers for the kind invitation. So today I'd like to talk about what quantum measurement has to do with many-body quantum dynamics. So this is the outline of my talk. I will first talk about continuously monitored many-body dynamics by focusing on quantum statistics, quantum criticality, and full counting dynamics. I'm also talking about single trajectory summarization. The first topic is continuously monitored many-body dynamics. The main player of this work is Yuto Ashida in collaboration with Shunsuke Furukawa. So this work was motivated by the development of a quantum gas microscope, which enables observation of many-body wave function at the single site resolution. At such high resolution, the Heisenberg's uncertainty relation cannot be ignored. The higher the resolution, the greater back action on momentum would be. So then the natural question is how many body dynamics observed like this and quantum phase transition altered by measurement back action. Because we are able to measure individual atomic motion, but then the measurement back action on momentum could change the very nature of quantum phase transition. Therefore, the frontier of quantum gas microscope requires generalization of quantum statistical mechanics to incorporating effects of measurement back action. So the model is to continuously monitor atoms in optical lattice by spatially resolved measurement. We shine off-resonant laser light on atoms, and scattered light goes through the optical systems and will be detected on the screen. Here, the measurement operator here consists of the strength of measurement and the point spread function, which reflects the optical system, and atom number operator at lattice sites. So this is something to be measured and from which we can infer the dynamics of atoms on optical lattice. The dynamics of atoms under continuous monitoring is governed by three terms. First, the usual unitary evolution. Here we consider the Bose-Hubbard Hamiltonian. Then the second term is non-unitary evolution in the absence of photodetection. So in the previous setting, the outcome is whether a photon is detected or undetected. So there are two cases. And for the undetected case, the state evolution is still non-unitary because we measure the outcome of null measurement. And the third one is a so-called the jump process upon photodetection. So when a photon is detected at position X, the state changes in a discontinuous manner, where this dn is a marked point process. So we take the continuous measurement limit by assuming the frequent and weak measurement limit. Here, by frequent, I mean the measurement rate is much larger than the hopping rate of atoms. And by weak, I assume that spatial resolution of the system is much, much larger than the lattice systems. Otherwise, atom will simply be heated up. So by weak measurement keeps the measurement disturbance small. But one might think at such low resolution, can we still achieve single site resolution? And the answer is yes, by Bayesian inference. Even if the resolution is low, if you keep watching the systems, the statistical uncertainty will be narrowed, and eventually we can identify where or at which site an atom resides. So let us first consider the case of distinguishable particles. So two distinguishable particles come in, then the continuous measurement of distinguishable particles can be modeled by a generalization of a single particle theory due to DOC. So DOC considers association motion of an atom under measurement. Then the result is this. So without measurement, Initially, localized wave packet will diffuse away due to quantum pressure. But then under measurement, wave function will shrink by the measurement back action. So there is some balance between quantum diffusion and wave function collapse. And the DOC identifies that for a given measurement strength, there is some stable packet. And for the case of multi-particle case, the generalization is simple. So aside from the unitary part, we have a center of mass decoherence. So XCM is a center of mass of many particles and relative positional part. And both decohere according to the Lindblad mass equation because all degrees of freedom can be distinguished for distinguishable particle and hence susceptible to measurement back action. So all degree of freedom just decoheres. But in contrast, for distinguishable particles, relative positions cannot be distinguished because we cannot distinguish these or this. What happens is that probability amplitude of this and probability amplitude of this must be added up. And as a consequence, this relative positional part will be canceled out due to two-particle interference. As a consequence, many particle quantum interference suppress the relative positional decoherence, and only the center of mass part decoheres. And this gives rise to a substantial consequence of many body dynamics under continuous measurement. So we perform numerical simulation of quantum bulk. So initially we place two atoms at adjacent sites, let the system evolve freely subject to continuous measurement and see what happens. We compare quantum transport for distinguishable case, fermions and bosons. So without measurement, the two particles move away in opposite directions, something like this, and almost independent of quantum statistics. So whether it's distinguishable, fermions and bosons, dynamics will be almost the same. So something like this, two particles move just away. But however, with measurement under continuous observation, the behavior will look quite differently. For distinguishable particles, this changes to something like this. This is because of measurement back action. So every time a photon is hit an atom, then the atom will be deflected somewhat. So atomic motion will become random due to measurement back action. However, for indistinguishable case, for example, for fermions, even under the action of measurement, the action, the trajectory is something like this. For bosons, both move in the same way. So the quantum trajectory under continuous measurement will be very, very different, depending on the statistics of particles. What happens? For distinguishable particles, measurement back action decoheres both center mass and and relative positional part. Therefore, the motion becomes uncorrelated and the diffusion motion. However, for indistinguishable particles, as I mentioned, the relative positional decoherence vanishes due to multi-particle interference. Therefore, the center mass coordinate is localized due to decoherence and strongly correlated and exhibit ballistic transport. For fermions, the system shows anti-bunching effect. For bosons, the system shows bunching effect because of quantum statistics. So we now next consider the quantum critical phenomena. So even for two particles, behavior will be quite different. So we will expect a huge difference when the number of particles is huge. So this is a case of quantum critical phenomena under continuous observation. The model we consider is a continuously monitored many-body system. So a single trajectory. This is just a schematic, but undergoes several quantum jumps. So here are quantum jumps, here there is no jump, and here is quantum jumps. So for the time being, we will first consider the dynamics between quantum jumps. And in this case, the system can be described by an non-Hermitian Hamiltonian, where m sub i describes the jump operator. And the first term is the usual unitary part, and the second part describes the measurement back action for null measurement outcomes. An effective non-Hermitian Hamiltonian in general has complex eigenvalues. The real part is the effective energy of the system, and the imaginary part gives the decay rate. The effective ground state is identified as an eigenstate of this effective Hamiltonian having the lowest energy. And in our model, this such a lowest energy state also turn out to have a minimal decay rate, hence the longest lifetime. So we can experimentally investigate such a systems. And in the following, we consider the situation in which the Hermitian part here exhibits quantum criticality. Okay, so let us first consider the superfluid Mott insulator transition in which for the Bose-Hubbard case. And in the cold atom case, the loss is usually the two-body dipolar loss. Therefore, the non-Hermitian Hamiltonian is given by this, and the jump operator is two-particle loss. And in this case, superfluid Mott insulator transition point is identified with the one at which the energy gap closes. So this panel shows the effect of measurement back action. So when the measurement strength increases, then the Mott lobe is shown to be expanded. So measurement back action shifts the transition point so that the Mott lobe expands. So we do have some significant effect of measurement back action. The physics is this. So under measurement, then the wave function shrinks. This favors localization. Therefore, the expansion of Mott lobe, something like this, may be interpreted as being caused by the suppression of hopping rate due to continuous quantum Zeno effect. So we next consider the quantum criticality of a 1D Bose gas. So jump process in this case is again the two-body loss. So the only modification is to introduce this imaginary part into the deep linear model. In the low energy case, then this Hamiltonian will be reduced to the Tomonaga-Ratinger model, where the coupling constant includes the complex phase reflecting this two-body loss. We examine the behavior of two critical exponents against the measurement strengths. So one is a one-body correlation, which decays algebraically with some critical exponent, K phi. And another quantity we investigate is a density-density correlation, which again decreases algebraically with some critical exponent, K theta. For the Tomonaga-Ratinger liquid case, both exponents are the same, indicating the, what is called the Tomonaga-Ratinger liquid universality class. So this panel shows the two critical exponents as a function of the measurement strength for weakly interacting and the strongly interacting case. In both cases, without measurement, so that zero, so both critical exponents are the same, of course. But with increasing the measurement strength, both critical exponents diverge, deviates from each other. So two different critical exponents indicate the emergence of a unique 1D quantum critical universality class caused by the measurement back action. So let us now consider the full counting many particle dynamics toward establishing a quantum statistics under continuous measurement. So initial motivation was to understand what's happens when we continuously monitors the many-body dynamics via the quantum gas microscope. So we here consider the full quantum trajectories. Previously we consider only neural count process, but here I take into account those quantum jump processes as well. And in this case, what is called full quantum statistics comes into play. So P sub NT gives the probability of observing n quantum jumps occurring during a time interval zero on T. So we initially prepare n atoms here. Then we let the system evolve freely in time. And during time T, some atoms are lost due to quantum jumps. Okay. At the end of the day, we measure the remaining number of atoms using quantum gas microscope. If the remaining number of atoms turn out to be n minus n, then we find that n quantum jumps have occurred in the course of time evolution. By repeating this many times, we can find full quantum dynamics, which describes an ensemble of quantum trajectory for varying number of quantum jumps. So to be specific, we solve the Lindblad master equation. So the general solution for this is given by this, where n is a number of quantum jumps. And this solution formally describes an ensemble of all possible trajectories with n quantum jumps, where u sub f describes the effective time evolution during the no jump process, and L sub k describes the jump operator. And this solution describes this entire process. Okay, so to identify phenomena unique to full quantum dynamics, we consider a solvable model of fermions under continuous observation. So this is formal, but cannot be calculated in general. So we want to concretely calculate this for this simple case. So initially, we assume that half-filled fermions trapped in a super lattice. And then on top of that, we superimpose a periodic dissipative potential, which causes one-body loss. So this is near-resonant laser light. And then we perform a site-resolved detection of atom to find out whether atom is lost in the course of time evolution. So here, the effective Hamiltonian in this case involves a PT symmetric Hamiltonian, something like this, for this particular situations. And the jump time is given by this. So C is the annihilation operator of atom at site L. Okay. On the ensemble level, then the state evolution is given by Lindblad, but we will solve the trajectory dynamics as described before. And for this model, the exact solution of rho sub m can be obtained. So this is a point. And we will calculate the physical quantity based on this exact solution. So we use this solution to study how correlation propagates after the quantum quench. So at t equals zero, we switch on dissipation gamma and on-site potential h, and calculate equal time correlation function at site zero and at site L. Okay. On an ensemble level, that is calculated by the Lindblad master equation, then this is the lattice site versus time. Then the propagation is shown by this light signals, and they all within the Lie-Robinson bound. Therefore, the ensemble level propagation of correlation is limited by the Lee-Robinson bound. And the remaining panel shows the full counting dynamics, the same quantity under the full quantum dynamics for varying number of quantum jumps, 0, 10, 20, and 30, and 40. And in this case, we clearly see events which goes beyond this dotted line. So dotted line shows limits the Lee-Robinson bound. So we clearly see faster propagation at integer multiple of Lee-Robinson bound. So full quantum dynamics violates Lee-Robinson bound. The physical origin of such supersonic propagation can be analyzed in terms of the PT symmetric Hamiltonian. So we know that the PT symmetric Hamiltonian is non-Hermitian. Therefore, the energy eigenvalues can be complex, but for small dissipation, then we can show that eigenvalues are real. But in that case, eigenstates must be non-orthogonal. So Hermitian case, we have two important properties. Eigenvalues are real, and eigenstates are orthogonal to each other. But for the non-Hermitian case, eigenvalues can be real, but for that case, eigenstates must be non-orthogonal. Therefore, so this is the dispersion relation, energy versus wave number. And for the Hermitian case, this point and this point are orthogonal. But for the non-Hermitian case, those two points are non-orthogonal. So there are mixing at energy twice the energy. So this means that if the state is here, this state will mix with this state. So when we calculate the norm of the wave function, the norm oscillates at such frequencies. Now, the group velocity is the energy derivative with respect to k. And if energy involves such higher order, higher harmonic components, then resultant group velocity should also involve such higher order terms. So this is the origin of supersonic propagation. Okay, so finally, we address the question of whether thermalization and heating proceeds along a single quantum trajectory. So there are three distinct types of thermalization. First is a conventional system in contact with thermal reservoir. Recently, people are interested in thermalization in isolated quantum systems. Here I will discuss the third type, that is thermalization caused by measurement. So a continuous measurement consists of two processes. A jump process is described by this jump operator, and a no jump process is described by this non-Hermitian Hamiltonian. Each realization of a quantum jump trajectory is specified by a sequence of measurement outcome. So at which time quantum jump occurs, and which type of quantum jump occurs at such times. The crucial observation here is that jump operator in general does not commute with Hamiltonian. This means that when the jump operator occurs, then quantity conserved by Hamiltonian no longer be conserved. In particular, measurement can even heat or cool the systems because of this non-Hermitian property of jump operator. So to show this, we numerically simulate hard-core bosons with nearest neighbor and the next nearest neighbor interactions for 18 sites and 6 particles. For as a jump operator, we consider the local number of particles. So we locally measure the number of particles by quantum gas microscope. So this panel shows the time evolution of atomic density. So the color shows atomic density, and the red points shows where the quantum jump occurs. So this standard shows the time evolution. So lattice site versus occupation number. Initially, occupation number are nearly the same. Now, here the quantum jump occurs here, and the next it will occur here. And there will be a subsequent relaxation toward thermal equilibrium. And then we'll expect the quantum jump here. Okay. And then it will soon relaxes toward the equilibrium state. So every time an atom is detected, high density region emerges due to the wave function collapse, which subsequently relaxes toward equilibrium value. So notice that this is a single trajectory, not an ensemble. Nevertheless, summarization occurs, indeed occurs, as this dynamic shows. So this panel shows the kinetic energy versus time. So every time quantum jump occurs, then kinetic energy increases stepwise. And this panel shows the component of k equals zero component. So every time quantum jump occurs, then component decreases, something like this. So this is a quantum depletion. And the blue curve shows the real dynamics, and the yellow dot shows the Gibbs distribution. So we note that initially, distribution deviates greatly from the Gibbs distribution, but just after a few quantum jumps, then distribution is very similar to the Gibbs distribution. By the way, almost perfect agreement is given by this red dotted line, which is a new statistical ensemble which takes into account the quantum jump process. So this shows the energy distribution after each jump. So initially, the distribution deviates greatly from the Gibbs distribution because we start from an energy eigenstate. And after just a few quantum jumps, then distribution agrees very well with the Gibbs distribution. So this means that a few quantum jumps are sufficient to eliminate initial memory of a quantum many-body state. So this panel shows a case of integrable case. Compared with a non-integrable case, we see many fluctuations of densities. This is because integrable system relaxes very slowly due to integrability of the systems. And as we see that Gibbs distribution poorly fits the real data. Nevertheless, just after a few quantum jumps, then the real distribution agrees fairly well with the Gibbs distribution. So this means that a few quantum jumps are sufficient to smear out the initial memory of a single energy state. Now we know that integrable system is only weak ETH, doesn't summarize by itself. But now we have shown that quantum jump eliminates the biased weight on non-summer eigenstates admitted by weak ETH. So measurement introduces an extra integrability breaking perturbation and helps the system summarize. Okay, so to summarize, we have discussed non-equilibrium many-body dynamics under continuous monitoring by focusing on quantum statistics, quantum critical phenomena, full quantum dynamics, and single trajectory summarization. So it seems likely that summarization is promoted by quantum jumps, which offer a genuinely new quantum mechanism for the universal validity of thermodynamic concepts. So if you observe the system will summarize, regardless of it is integrable or non-integrable. Thank you very much for the kind attention.
Thank you, very interesting talk. So I have a question about summarization part.
Yes.
So first question is, you showed the, that's right. So the so new kind of ensemble describing the such a quantum trajectory dynamics. Yeah,
yes.
That one. So is it somehow, is it quite different from the Gibbs ensemble, or is there any understanding about this kind of ensemble?
So this new ensemble, which we call matrix vector product ensemble, starts from the Gibbs distribution, but take into account the effects of jump operator.
Is it commutator or?
This is a matrix product. Matrix product. So it's
okay.
A kind of matrix product idea. But every time a quantum jump occurs, then it mixes eigenstates, one eigenstate from another due to quantum jumps. So quantum jump mixes energy eigenstates. And we have to take into account that effect.
So we have to know which
quantum type of quantum jump
which jump occur for yes. each steps
at what time?
At one time. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
So I have a question about the integrable case.
Integrable case, yes.
So there, if the evolution were unitary, presumably it would relax to some generalized Gibbs ensemble.
Yes.
Now, if the jump operators only fail to commute with some of the conserved quantities, then I suppose it cannot relax to a Gibbs distribution. Is that correct?
Correct. Yes. Yes.
So can you have intermediate cases?
Yes.
Now
so
where you have
in general, jump operator doesn't commute with Hamiltonian itself. So it doesn't conserve the energy and mixes the eigenstates.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and interestingly, this eliminates biased weight or admitted by weak ETH.
I see, but what if it commuted with some of the other conserved quantities of the system? Wouldn't you still have a generalized Gibbs ensemble with fewer Lagrange multipliers?
Still, generalized Gibbs ensemble would be modified. Because generalized Gibbs ensemble assumes integrable systems. So usually jump operator doesn't commute many of those conserved quantities. So I expect that GGE will be greatly altered. Yeah.
So I'm trying to understand this point you made about thermalization, so that
yes.
you can enable thermalization by measuring.
Yes.
But if I think about measuring, I'm essentially reducing entropy, so I'm sort of gaining more knowledge about the system. So how do I reconcile the increase in sort of uncertainty with the reduction, with the increase of knowledge? Is it because you're starting from a zero entropy state with, like, you know perfectly the initial state and you can only increase entropy? If I start with a very high entropy initial state, would it flow backwards or?
Well, if you look at the entire wave function, the entropy monotonically decreases upon the measurement. The point is that what we measure is not the entire wave function, but usually a few body local observables. So those local observables that show thermalization. So we have to consider the overlap of single particle weight with the many body eigenstates. And it's those overlap which exhibit thermalization. So there is no inconsistency with the fact that entire wave function tend to become purified. Yeah.
Okay, I think I understand. Thanks.
Okay.
I have a somewhat related question.
I mean, I have only a very dim understanding of the Lindbergh equation.
Yes.
But from my understanding, all the operators should be really treated together, and the quantum jump method is just a mathematical trick to integrate it. There's nothing real about a quantum jump. But it seems as if you're actually saying that physically there are quantum
yes.
jumps, and you can talk about this in between quantum jumps. But
well,
like, I don't know the meaning, what meaning
okay.
to assign to that.
AMO people can identify when quantum jump occurs, when and what type of quantum jump occurs.
Well, but then that's a measurement.
Actually see something going out of the system, for example, and you have to collapse the wave function.
Yes,
at
but
that
only
point, the Lindbergh equation stops applying.
Yeah, well, so we have to apply the measurement techniques to to calculate the time evolution. So we now have some technology to trace single trajectory under continuous observation. And that's, I use such technology to calculate the time evolution. So it's not the Lindblad, but single trajectory processes based on individual measurement outcomes. Yes. To be consistent with measurement outcome, we can calculate the state evolution in a Bayesian manner. Yeah. Yes. So it has actually something to do with actual measurement. Yes.
Okay. Well, I'll think about that. Thank you. Any other questions? All right. Okay. Well, thank you very much for an interesting talk. And we'll have a coffee break now and come back at 10:50.